Okay, let me start by reading the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 66 to 68. I'm reading from the New King James Version. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 66 to 68. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So it's quite a big chapter, chapter 6. In the Gospel of John. We'll start from the beginning and go through the chapter to the conclusion, not going through all the details, but try to get the message from this chapter. And the chapter begins in John chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. So as you read through the Gospels, you see quite often Jesus was followed by crowds of people, loads of people, multitudes. And the question is, why were they attracted to Jesus? Why did they follow him? Why are you and I attracted to Jesus? If I continue to read from verse 13, and this is the miracle of the bread and the fish. "Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.' Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." So they wanted to take him by force to make him king. I mean, people in this world put so much money into campaigns to become the leaders. And, you know, really fight to get there, but Jesus is quite the opposite, wasn't he? They wanted to make him one, and he escaped from there. So we all have plans for this life. They're all good plans. Yes, not good plans for bad things to happen. Well, the Bible says, using this illustration, we are all like sheep have gone astray. We do have plans for this life that diverge from God's plan from the very beginning of our history. We all like sheep that wandered away from God. And our plans are mainly about making a good life on this earth. Perhaps even building a kingdom down here. And remembering good old communism that's passing away almost completely now. Communism failed in its attempts to build a kingdom on earth. All good intentions, similar to the book of Acts chapter 2, yeah. All good intentions, but it failed. But it's communism, it's got a brother called capitalism. And they're closely related. And capitalism continues to build the tower that is getting higher and higher. And they're brothers, communism and capitalism, because they come from the same father that's called materialism. They may seem different on the surface, but the essence is materialism. Come from the same place. And this same impulse to build a material kingdom on earth, existed also by the Sea of Galilee when Jesus fed thousands of people with bread and fish. So in fact, they tried to make him their king by force. So what were they thinking? And what were their expectations? What attracted them to Jesus? Well, I could say it again using this illustration. The two brothers attracted him to Jesus. One brother was called physical health, and the other brother was called physical food. Because at the beginning of the chapter, we are told that the multitude started to follow him because they saw the healings, and then they're fed. So physical health and physical food. Nothing wrong with good health and good food, but both are mainly to do with physical or material things. So they tried to force Jesus to become their king. And he escaped by walking on water to the other side of the lake. So there's a reason why he did this peculiar miracle. Nothing wrong with little escapism when it's needed. And then if I continue to read from verse 25 to 29. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, why did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, What shall we do that we may do the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. So Jesus tells the crowds that follow him, You are interested only in the goods that come from me, but you're not really interested in me. So how do we relate, you and I, to the people from this place, from this time, by the Lake of Galilee? In our relationship to Christ, and our expectations, how do we talk to Christ? We pray for a house, place to live. We pray about work, job, problems at work. And we pray for good health. Yeah? That's what we pray for. All to do with physical or material needs. Aspects of our lives. So are we any different from the crowds that followed Jesus by the Sea of Galilee? Would try to pull him down. He was close to heaven. They tried to pull him down to earth and plant him here and keep him here and get him to do what they wanted him to do. But then he escaped from there. Reading from verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. So why would Jesus say to the people who saw the miracles of healing and the miracles of the bread and fish, why does he say to them, you do not believe in me? Does it not come by default when you see miracles, signs and wonders that you actually believe when you see all these things? So they've seen all the miracles and he says, you do not believe. What does it mean to believe? The Jews kept asking for more and more signs, and in the end, they rejected Christ. So what we learn from this is that miracles are no guarantee that we'll have a true faith relationship with God. And reading from verse 41, just 41 in fact, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And then verses 57 and 58. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna in the desert and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So they started complaining. What's he talking about? And this is so ingrained in our human nature, complaining. Jesus told them, if you want just material things, food and health, you will get them, but then you will die. Isn't that what happened to Israelites in the desert? They have all these miracles, food falling down from heaven, manna. So yes, they ate it, yes, but then Jesus says, what happened in the end? They all died. These are only temporary solutions. Only temporary solution. I have come for a great purpose, Jesus says. I have come to give you food that will give you eternal life, not just a couple of years down here. In fact, I myself, I am that food. And you need to feed me. So what does he mean by that? Because some of the people listening seem to be confused about that. Verse 60. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, oh, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When he said, you need to feed on me, eat me. And then Jesus explains, obviously, he spoke in parables often, and what he meant by saying, you need to feed on me and eat me. Verse 63, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So he doesn't speak about real flesh, but the Spirit. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. So when he says feed on me, he doesn't mean to feed on his literal body, but on the words that he says to us, the Word of God. Jesus tells him, yes, I gave you material blessings, healing and food, but that is not my purpose here. My purpose is not to build a material kingdom down here on earth. Neither socialist, nor capitalist, nor any kind of kingdom. My purpose is to build a spiritual kingdom. And I'm not staying here for much longer in this earthly kingdom. I'm going back to where I belong, to the heavenly kingdom. That is the kingdom that I'm promising to you. Not this one down here. Not this one. And when I talk about you feeding on me and eating my flesh, I do not mean that literally. The words that I speak to you are the Spirit and the life. Can we have life without the words of God? Well, in fact, the entire creation came through the Word of God. One of the key temptations that Jesus faced in the desert caused him to say in response, man shall not live on bread alone. Obviously we have to live, we are physical creatures, we have to have it, but not on bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you know what the word of God is? Do you know the difference between the Word of God and the words of man? Do you know the difference between the Word of God and the human religious tradition? The difference between the Word of God and the human philosophy? The difference between the Word of God and human purely materialistic science that doesn't recognize any spiritual reality with its materialistic religion of our origins? Unless we feed on God's word, we will not have eternal life. That's what Jesus says to us. It's the food that gives eternal life. And I did not say read, and Jesus did not say read, but he said feed. Not read, but feed. And again, not literally. In the previous chapter, chapter 5, Christ said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. So the Jews were very diligent with the scriptures, and they understood and knew them pretty well. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So, if our belief system only defines who we are, either as an individual or as a member of a group, these are merely dead words on the paper of our minds. Unless our faith takes us beyond ourselves and transports us into the reality of Christ, in His presence, we are merely going through the motions and forms of religion, whichever form or shape it may take. So we all find identity in what we believe, who we are. But that is me, that is you. That's not good enough. We need to go beyond and we need to reach out to Christ. Our religious knowledge, understanding that who we are, who we think we are, the knowledge is that just a road sign that points to a destination. And if you just stand there and look at the sign, and read the sign, but not move to where the sign is pointing to, we will never arrive to our destination. Consequently, this is what happened. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So despite witnessing the miracles, signs and wonders, many of Christ's followers turned around, turned their backs on him and walked away. I did not say Christ's enemies. I said Christ's followers. Christ's disciples. He was left only with a handful at this point. So the question comes back to us again, reflecting on the people by the Sea of Galilee. What it is that attracts us to Christ? What are our expectations of Him? And how many of us are truly willing to completely commit to Christ, no matter what we may gain or lose? Let us also be realistic at this point. The response of the 12 disciples was hardly inspirational. Where else do we go? We looked everywhere else, exhausted all the other options. There's nowhere else to go. Here we are. We are here with you now. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. As long as they place their complete trust and confidence in God, no matter how they felt about it. And as for you and me, we can't do much more than that either. But place our complete trust and confidence in Christ. As it is written, "This is the work of God, that you may believe in whom God sent."